And some lovely reaction to our remembering Seamus Dean, not least of which is this tweet from Siobhan Parker. As an evening student in the 1980s, I looked forward to his, that Seamus Dean's lectures, as did everyone, as he set the intellectual night on fire. Nothing he said was superfluous or without total conviction. We were so lucky to be anywhere in his orbit. And we knew it. Siobhan Parker sending that in to us. Well, it is Thursday night and we will have our movie reviews at this point up for review this evening. The Secrets We Keep, set in 1950s America, where Noomi Rapace suspects her neighbour is an incognito war criminal. Some Kind of Heaven is a documentary film about the villages in Florida, the world's largest retirement community and sometimes referred to as God's waiting room. And we start with Oxygen, where a woman wakes up in a cryogenic chamber with no recollection of how she got there. Cara O'Doherty, Paul Whittington are our reviewers on this Thursday evening. Liz is the woman, it takes us a while even to find out, or it takes her a while to find out her name, at the centre of this film, Cara Oxygen, played by Melanie Laurent. She's in real trouble when we meet her, and tension is high from the very start of this film.
Yes, she wakes up in a cryogenic chamber, hasn't a clue who she is, why she's there. She is attached by tubes in her feet and her hands. And all she knows is that there is a voice called Milo. He is a computer interface, voiced by Matthew Almerich. And he pretty much says to her in his best robotic voice, calm down, missus, because you're running out of oxygen and you don't have long. So from the second she wakes up, she realises she is within hours of imminent death and she needs to figure out what she is doing in a chamber and how she got there.
And Milo is a medical interface liaison officer. I just love that Milo is the acronym for what he does in this particular situation. Paul, I get the impression you might have a little fear of rats, but also not only rats. If you have any fear of being caught in a tight space, this film's a real problem.
Well, actually, Sean, I know people who, my wife has no time for rats whatsoever. And with me, it would be more the being buried alive that I would find upsetting. Yeah, this film, as Cara says, it sort of sets itself the challenge of, you know, can you keep a film in which an actress is in a box interesting? It's a bit like Buried, rather overpraised film from a few years ago. But we have the benefit of the computer. In fact, Matthew Amalric, he reminded me of Marvin the Paranoid Android, because he's not an optimist, the computer. He keeps reminding her unhelpfully that, you know, the oxygen's going to go, he might have to euthanize her soon, etc. And he's not all that helpful in terms of providing solutions either.
I suppose what keeps us interested at one level here, Cara, is the fact that the character herself is trying to piece together what's actually happening and how she is in the situation that she is. There are some hugely unexpected plot twists, which is extraordinary given that it's all happening in this confined space. Did the tension hold through for you? Did that work?
To a certain extent it did. It's quite interesting at the start when she's trying to figure out what's going on, and Milo's able to make phone calls out, which is quite handy. She gets to talk to humans who suggest her thoughts might be because she's trapped in this traumatic situation. She keeps seeing a handsome man as those rats keep appearing. But as it goes on, it just starts to slightly lose the run of itself, really. So the tension quite, there's a big reveal of what is going on, and from then on it really just, there's giant holes in its plot that kind of, it loses itself a bit.
Yeah, so holes in the plot for you are audacious and working plot twists, Paul?
Well, I mean, I think it does okay. I think that Melanie Laurent is a very good actress, and she suffers eloquently throughout the film. And I think that the computer and her relationship with that sort of makes it work for a long time. I think that the plot twist towards the end are almost shark jumping in their audaciousness, but it sort of gets away with it, I think, overall.
I found myself, I listened to it, it's in French with English subtitles, but you can also, on Netflix, you can also, you know, flick it over and listen to it dubbed over. I think you might have done that as well, Cara. It's better to stick with the French, really, isn't it?
Definitely stick with the French. I mean, it's not bad as a dubbed film, but as it goes on, that sort of, the voice just doesn't quite work. It doesn't match up with Liz and her state. The more panicked she gets, the more the voice doesn't quite match. So definitely stick with the French, if only to hear Milo, Matthew Almerich, because for a computer, he manages to have a great comedic tone in there.
There's a good, some good swearing, Cara, as well, in French in it, so it's worth sticking to.
Yes,
for that as well.
Six of the swearing in French. And Melanie Laurent, it's down to her performance. Does she carry it off? Does the film work for you, first of all, Cara, and stars?
Do you know, she gives a solid performance, and she really does. She does her best with some dodgy dialogue. It's engaging enough, but it does kind of go out the window. I'd say I'd give it 3 stars. It is engaging. You can watch it, but just don't expect a huge amount. It was an interesting idea, though.
All right.
But it could have been a lot better.
3 from you, Cara. And what are you saying then, Paul?
Sure, I'll go with 3 as well, Sean, unless you have a problem with rats.
Right. It comes with a rat warning from Paul Whittington, and it's available on Netflix. Second film this evening is The Secrets We Keep, post-World War II America, a woman rebuilding her life in the suburbs with her now husband. She kidnaps her neighbour and seeks vengeance for the war crimes she believes he committed against her. Again, for me, this was a film, Cara, from the very beginning where the tension was really high.
This is the type of film that does start out very high, and it's a really interesting idea. Noemi Rapace plays Maya. She's a Romanian woman who met her husband during the war. It's 15 years later, and they seem to have a nice life. He's a local GP. And one day she hears a man whistling when she's out with her small son. And it's a very distinct whistle, and she recognises it, and she sees the man, and it's that moment of she decides to follow him just to kind of make sure she's not imagining things. And as she follows him, she begins to realise that this is a man that she knew from the war. She told her husband she hadn't been involved in the war, but she had in fact been in a concentration camp. And this man, in her eyes, is an SS soldier that she had a very horrible encounter with. And she is convinced it is him, but he has a new name and he says he's Swiss. So it all gets a bit twisty and turny. He's trying to find out, is it him?
His new name is Thomas. He's played by Joel Kinnaman. In this scene, we're about to hear Maya, played by Noemi Rapace, abducts him, and she believes he isn't Thomas at all, but in fact one of her former captors called Carl.
What is your name?
I'm Thomas. Thomas Diamond.
Good job hiding that German accent.
I'm not German, I'm Swiss.
Swiss. Carl. Someone called you Carl.
My name is Thomas Steinman. I just moved to this town. I work at the refinery. I have a wife, Rachel. 2 children. I don't know who you're confusing me with, but just let me go. I won't tell anyone. I promise. I got hit in the head. I'm confused. I won't recognize your faces. Just let me go. I need to see my family again.
You will never see your family again.
Noemi Rapace as Maya and Joel Kinnaman as Thomas from the film there, The Secrets We Keep. Paul Whittington, if you weren't feeling tense, then the music is there to tell you you should be feeling tense watching this. There's a lot of signalling going on by the music itself. But the stories that involve Nazi or potential Nazi war criminals, because we have to find out in the film whether he is one or not, there are many of them out there. Does this bring something new to that particular story?
Well, the only new and interesting thing it brings is the idea that Maja, Noemi Rapace's character, is not just Romanian, she's Roma, which is something she's hid from her husband. And the Nazis used to shoot Roma on sight, and they may have killed as many as a million of them, which is often forgotten in terms of the Holocaust. So that's interesting, but they don't make that much of it. And their treatment of the SS and the war and so on is rather glib, really.
Yeah, because we get some flashbacks to that, to this particular event, but it's been pieced together in Maya's mind, so it's never fully clear. Well, certainly not until close to the end. It's never fully clear what may or may not have happened. Cara, Maya's husband, Lewis, the local GP, as you say, played by Chris Messina, what dynamic does he bring to it? Because essentially it's a three-hander, isn't it? You know, between the husband and wife, Maya and Lewis, the Chris Messina character, and the kidnapped Joel Kinnaman character, Thomas.
Well, he's a bit of an everyman, so he's a bit shocked to find his wife has managed to kidnap and have a man in the boot of the car. But on the one hand, she never told him any of the stuff from the war. And when he finds out, he's not sure whether to believe her or not. And it turns out that early on she had some mental health issues. Not surprisingly, she had a lot of nightmares. But what I just couldn't get over was the fact that a doctor has no real empathy or sympathy for her depression or the nightmares. He's quite dismissive of all of that. And he works with veterans. So that just didn't seem right. I just assume a GP would go, right, okay, there's actually something not right here. So it's odd lack of empathy for her. It just was quite strange. And I think it's one of a few sort of weak points, like a very unconvincing policeman who, honestly, you wouldn't want him investigating a missing dog. Sort of rocks up and goes, this woman's husband's missing. Yeah. A neighbour across the road who hears a yell in the night. And it's all very... They're all very unfinished ideas, I should say.
Yeah, the sounds you were agreeing, particularly around the policeman there, Paul.
Yeah.
Are they unfinished ideas for you as well?
Yeah, I think. I mean, the husband's character is a problem because he sort of goes, "Okay, we've kidnapped a Nazi." He doesn't seem that surprised about it. He doesn't sort of object to it. When torture starts, he seems to be okay with that, despite his Hippocratic oath. I think it's sort of okay, and that the performance. Noomi Rapace is a funny sort of actress. But she does suffer fluently as well again, and she does that here. And her and Kinnaman, who go back a long way, I think they went to school with each other actually. Their scenes together are the best things in the film.
Right, OK. How does that all translate into stars? From you first this time, Paul?
I get to use a half star, Sean, 2.5 stars.
2.5 stars from Paul. And Cara, what are you saying?
I couldn't give it that extra half. I'm sticking with the 2 for it.
Sticking with the 2, fair enough. That's The Secrets We Keep, and that will be available on Sky Cinema and Now TV from tomorrow. Now, we'll be back with our third and final film, Some Kind of Heaven. What a film that is. We'll talk in a minute about it. And just before we go to our third and final film this evening, if you're wondering where is the Toya Wilcox interview that you spoke about last night and were so excited about, Sean, well, obviously the death of Seamus Dean changed our plans for this evening's programme. I'm sure everybody will understand that. But we do plan to give you the Toya Wilcox interview on Monday evening here on the programme. Right, let's move on then to our final film for this evening, Some Kind of Heaven. And I said, what kind of film is this in some ways? It's a documentary from director Lance Oppenheim focusing on Florida, a Florida town called The Villages, America's largest retirement community and home to 130,000 residents. Paul, give us a sense of what kind of a place The Village is. It's kind of the villages are, because it's a set of towns in some ways, isn't it?
Yeah, its founder, only in America, where I've often noticed that saying the word death out loud is considered very bad form. It was founded by this guy who called it sort of, you know, a retirees Disneyland. In a sense, it is. It was designed to look like a kind of baby boomer 1950s fantasy town with a sort of made up history and fake foundation stones, and about 20,000 retired people live there, and nobody else, like, you know, no young people. Because there are no young people, it allows them to sort of behave that they're going on forever. And some people interviewed say, you know, when you come here, you become younger. You come here to live, not to pass away. There's a great deal of denial going on, Sean, in the villages.
Extraordinary characters. I want to listen to one of them before we talk about others. This is Dennis. He's moved from California to the villages in Florida. He'll tell you why he's there himself.
I came down here from California to meet some wealthy women and get set up for life. I think I'm going to have to live in the van until I find that woman that I'm looking for, and it's getting close, I think. What I'm looking for is a companion, a nice-looking lady with some money that looks good, that I'd be not embarrassed to be seen on the street with. And down here, they're rare. It's rare to find a classic lady down here at Rexley that's really sharp, but they're out there, but you have to find out where to find them. And I've been working the bars, and that's not working. I tried the churches, and that's not working. So then I started hitting the swimming pools a few months ago, and that works really well. I just hustle them and talk to them and get them to invite me over for cocktails. And then eventually I can move in with them if everything works out all right.
Good man, Dennis. You know what you're looking for at any rate. That's a character called Dennis from Some Kind of Heaven, the documentary about retirement homes in Florida. They're an extraordinary set of people here, Cara. Hilarious at one level, but terribly sad at another.
It is. It's. I mean, it's absolutely intriguing. But there's this woman, Barbara. She's there 11 years and she's widowed. And she just wants somebody to spend her days with. And it's so sad. You see her going from, I mean, this place has everything from synchronized swimming to the golf cart precision drill team. She tries all these different things, desperate to find somebody. She thinks she might have met a man. He runs the Margarita Club, but sure, he's a player. He may as well be Dennis's friend. And the poor woman, she just wanders around in the hopes of finding somebody. And a couple, Anne and Reggie, and they're married 47 years. And apparently Reggie has always been a little bit of a loose cannon, but now he's taken to smoking weed and cocaine and now he's completely out of control. And you can see this poor woman looking at him going, I've put up with this for 47 years. And now look at him. This place is supposed to be kind of happy.
Yeah, he ends up in court and the judge tells him, be very careful what you're saying. And he kind of tells the judge more or less to shut up. Like, it's frightening stuff.
It's bizarre. And this, and like the idea is it's sold as this sort of magic fairyland. Someone describes it as being like going off to college. No one knows who you are. You can be what you want, do what you want.
But you do that when you're 18 or 19. Stars, stars, crying stars or laughing stars from you?
Oh, I'm a bit of both. It was sad. It was funny. It left me cold. But then I thought, sure, could be worse places to go. I think it's fascinating. I gave it 4 stars and I think there's more stories to tell. I'd love to see a follow-up.
All right, Paul.
Yeah, 4 stars for me as well, Sean. I think that it's amazing how it's almost an achievement how immature some of these men are. But the women all seem to have their heads screwed on.
Yeah, yes. Well, Dennis is a perfect example of that. Thanks to both of you for being with us this evening, Paul Whittington and Cara O'Doherty there speaking to us about our films, and that is Our Lot for this Thursday evening. Leah Murphy and Paula Shields researched. Janice Murphy was the broadcast coordinator. Jamie Doyle was on sound this evening, and tonight's programme was produced by Sinead Egan.